of introducing our guest speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Catalyst Christian Community is proud to present the chef, Steph Hino.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you for that. Wow. Oh man. I was more nervous for that introduction, I think, than I am to share with you this morning, but thank you. My name is Steph Hino, and if you don't know, I've been on staff here as the children's leader, children's ministry leader, I landed, for the past 3 years, and it's just been such an honor and a privilege just to serve with our staff and, just to serve these awesome kids and families. So much of my life is involved in the next generation, right? And I've always said that, the next generation, when I talk about these kids. But recently I heard someone say that it's actually, we shouldn't be referring to them as the next generation, but it's actually the now generation. Because now is the time that we need to pour into them. Now is the time to start training them and speaking into them. So we're going to start off with a little game first. So kids, I'm going to need your help. I will let you know in just a second. Okay, so we're going to play a game, and it's like a finish the sentence game. And there are no wrong answers. Okay, so we're going to have some half sentences up on the screen. And I'm going to call on one of you kids to fill in the rest of the sentence, okay? No wrong answers. And adults, these phrases are something you might have heard before, but no reactions, no blurting it out, but we'll come back to them later, okay? So can we get the first one up? Okay, so the first one is, children should be seen and... Who wants to fill in the... Okay, Carissa, come up here. Children should be seen and... What do you think?
And God can.
And God can. Yes, so good. Okay, next one. I brought you into this world. Oh, okay. I brought you into this world.
I brought you this world. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. That's awesome. Okay, next one is, I'll give you something to, okay, Eliana.
To bring you to life.
To bring you to delight? Is that what you said? Nice. I love that. That's so good. Okay, next one. Just wait until, okay, Nikki.
God sees you.
Just wait until God sees you. So good. Okay, probably one of my kids has to do this one. I'm your parent, not your... Where are my kids? One of you. I'm your parent, not your...
Son.
Son. I'm not your son. Duh. Okay, and then the last one is, money doesn't... Dylan.
Buy happiness.
Buy happiness. Facts. Okay, so I love that. I love all your answers. So good. Now, parent or adults, let's go back to the first one. So, kids, so some of us adults, older people, we know these phrases, but kind of a more negative version. So, I guess altogether, children should be seen and what's the, like, kind of not heard, right? Okay, and then I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out of it. How do you know that? How do you know that, Riley? Someone said that to you. Okay, I'll give you something to cry about. Okay, let's just preface this by saying, okay, there's no judgment here. Just because you know it doesn't mean you said it or had it said to you. Okay, let's just be in agreement with that right here. Okay. Next, just wait until, there's a couple you could go, I guess, with this. Just wait until dad comes home. Okay, and then I'm your parent, not your friend. And then last.
Wait, what?
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't make sense, huh? Yeah, if you're your parent, they're your friend. I agree with that. Okay, so obviously we can see that we're doing a pretty good job. Like, these kids had no idea, right? These toxic parenting phrases. But we don't want to simply just avoid the negative things, right, to pass on. That's not enough. So we also want to be intentional about what we're sowing into them. So today we're going to continue our series, Anyone Can Cook. But today we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective and a different angle. If you look at anyone who's cooking, you can be pretty confident that they didn't get to that place all by themselves, right? Everyone needs people around them to help them to get to that place. So today we're going to be talking about two people who were really intentional about setting up a child to cook and step into their destiny. So let me pray for us and open our time. So Lord, I just thank you just for this morning, God, and I thank you for our Catalyst family and just the way that we are just a multi-generational church that speaks into one another, that comes alongside each other, champions each other. And Lord, would you just encourage us this morning? Would you speak to us this morning? We just give this time to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to 1 Samuel 1. And first we're going to talk about Hannah. So Hannah was one of two wives, and she was a wife that was barren, so she was not able to have babies. And the other wife was kind of mean to her and would bully her and, like, rub it in her face, like, oh, I have all these babies and you don't. Okay, so that's kind of her background. So we're going to start at 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 17. I'm just going to read it because it's a little bit on the long side, but it says, Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And then if we skip a couple verses and go to 1 Samuel 1:20, it says, so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So I believe that the Lord remembered Hannah because of her hunger. And she told God the desire of her heart. And it wasn't a hunger for her own preference and just the way that she wanted it, but in that place of desperation and hunger, her heart was still to honor the Lord and to give him back what was his and to have things his way, whatever that looked like. I don't know if you realize, like, when I first read this, I thought, oh, she gave him to the Lord like he went to school and trained with the priest or whoever, and then he'd come home. No, she only saw him once a year. So she fully gave him away, the thing that she really, really desired in her heart. And Hannah, she poured out her soul for a son, but God wanted to give her a prophet and a leader. Samuel, her son, grew up to be a voice for a nation and anointed the first king of Israel because he had a mother who poured out her soul and asked the Lord for him. So today, I want to challenge you to go after your dreams and the desires of your heart. What will you pour out your soul and ask the Lord for? So about maybe, gosh, how long is it now? 13 or 14 years ago, I had a dream to go to a place called Bethel Church. And this dream of mine was because I just wanted more of the Lord and I wanted more of Jesus. I was so hungry for him. And the things that were coming out of that house, like, just so spoke to my heart that I was like, I need to go there and just, like, taste and see and experience it. But kind of like Hannah looked a little crazy in her cry out to the Lord. We, you know, with Bethel, there's no, you finish this school, you don't get like a diploma or like an actual certificate. I mean, they do give you a piece of paper, but in the secular world, like, it means nothing. there's no credits, there's no like official, you know, title or any award that you get. It's just, you know, kind of for yourself. So I got married. We went on our honeymoon, and then 5 days later, we were sitting in first year at school. And the longer form of this story is on Catalyst Stories somewhere, maybe like a year ago, so you can go listen to it there. I'm not going to go too deep into it today, but basically, that decision, in the moment, it was for me, right? I was crying out to God for more of him and wanting a way to go pursue more of him, but I was thinking about myself. Little did I know that that would not only change my life, it changed my marriage, it changed how I lead and parent my kids, and even in my role now, like, I didn't think I'd be here, you know, every week with leading these kids. And so much of that not only impacted me, but it impacted the people and my relationships around me. So partnering with the Lord and pursuing the unique dreams and calling on your life is going to affect more than just you. As you step into the promises that God has for your life, those testimonies that you experience, those things are going to unlock breakthrough for others too. And Hannah said, because I asked the Lord. That's what she named Samuel. Because I asked the Lord. And so what I think is, what if she didn't ask? I think the history of Israel would have looked a lot different if she hadn't asked. So pour it out to the Lord. What are those things that maybe dreams that you've kind of put on a shelf and maybe they're getting a little dusty? What are those things that the Lord's asking you to actually dust off and give to him and pursue? Okay, so now we are going to, kids, I'm going to need your help. So if we could pass out these clipboards, there's a little sign. If you guys could each grab one and color on it and work on it, we're going to need it for later, okay? And I'm going to talk more to the adults real quick. Okay, so while we're doing that, let's look at the second part of Samuel's story. This is after Hannah keeps her word and gives Samuel to the Lord completely. So 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, as a parent, this story hits differently to me because I love my sleep. I don't know about you. I'm a night owl, and if I had it my way, I'd sleep until like 10 o'clock every morning, minimum. And when you have children, that doesn't happen anymore. But I read this story, and when he says, Samuel says, Here I am, you called me. I read this part, My son, I did not call you. Like, go back and lie down. Like, that is, in my head, that's how I read that. Because that's honestly probably what I sound like when my kids wake up at like 6 in the morning on a Saturday and come to my side of the bed, Nolan, and they're like, What can I do? AKA, can I play video games or watch TV? That's what they're really asking. And I'm like, yes, I don't care. Just leave me alone. So I feel like reading this, I feel like it would have been so easy for Eli to just dismiss Samuel. Just be like, stop. Like, especially it's a time when God's not speaking. It's not common. It was rare for the Lord to speak in that time. But he didn't, right? And in a time, when like God wasn't speaking to anybody, he chose a child to speak to first. And Eli knew God enough for himself that he was able to recognize what God was doing in that moment. In his half grogginess, half sleep mode he was in. And so he knew God was doing something and was able to lead Samuel into that encounter with him. So one fun example I have, a story. Three weeks ago now, I got to go to Scottsdale, Arizona with my husband, Tim. And it was like a kind of work trip for him, but mostly play. Like they let us go on these excursions. So we did an interesting one. We wanted to do things that we wouldn't really do anywhere else, and especially if we weren't the ones paying for it, too. So we're like, might as well try something new, like little risk, right? So we actually decided to do clay shooting. So that's a picture of me. And this was our guide who was helping us. And these are actually, so clay shooting is the one where it's like, they actually gave these to us. They're these like clay discs, and you have these stations, and that's the one where, in movies they're like, pull, and then they launch these things in different trajectories, and you gotta shoot them out of the air. So we got to do that, and I had never touched a gun, shot a gun in my life, and I step up, and they give you like 10-minute training of what to do, and so I was a little nervous, but we had this guy, I think his name was like Greg or something, he was helping us, and so we're going, and I'm like trying to shoot these little clay things out of the air, and surprisingly, like I was actually pretty good at it, like I hit a lot of them, and so this guy, Greg, he's minimum 75? He was pretty old. So I was going, and I was, like, knocking him down. I was getting him, right? And then he was standing next to me, and he goes, looks at me, goes, You are cooking. And then I was like, what? Like, I never heard anyone over the age of, like, 20 use that word. So I thought that was so funny that he actually said that to me. But then when I was thinking about it, he was the one who taught me how to hold the gun, right? Because this is like a, yeah, it's like a shotgun. So he's like, you're right, you hold it here so you're not killing, you know, the kickback's not killing your shoulder. He loaded the gun for me. He like got it all ready. And then he even positioned me. He's like, okay, like it's coming right here. Because I was like pointing here. He's like, nope, right there. Okay, so really all I had to do was decide when to pull the trigger. So right, like he was like, oh yeah, like you're cooking, you're so like, and he's like, you need to buy a gun. And I'm like, well, Tim's not definitely not buying me a gun now. You know, like everyone's like, are you sleep? Everyone's telling him to sleep with one eye open. And I'm like, it's not a problem for now. But he also, when we would miss, he'd be like, oh, like you just shot right over it. Or, oh, you're too far under. And then we're watching other people go, and me and Tim are like, what is he seeing? Like, I don't see anything. Once they shoot it, like, I see literally nothing. And so we even asked him, we're like, how can you tell, like, how we missed it? Like, if we're up too high or too low? And he's like, I have a trained eye. And he's like, I have a special vision now because I've been doing this so long. He could see the little burst of BBs as like a gray flash, you know, above or below the clay disc. And I was like, okay, so I'm looking for this thing. And I'm just like, I can't even see it. I don't know what he's looking at. So I feel like that was a really cool picture for me to see, like, that God did that for Samuel. That's what he did for Samuel. He trained him in all the ways of the Lord as a child, and so that once the encounter with the Lord came, like it clicked and it all made sense. And he was able to carry that training throughout the rest of his life. So we talked about the two people who came alongside Samuel and were instrumental in helping him. So I want to talk really quickly about the actual significance of who Samuel is. So if you don't know, Samuel, he served as the last judge. He administered justice. He was a prophet who delivered God's messages to the people of Israel. He was instrumental in the transition of Israel to a monarchy, and he anointed both Saul and David as kings. He guided them through like a huge season of change, and he was obedient to God even though it wasn't a popular thing to do. 1 Samuel 7:13 says, throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of God was against the Philistines. Like, he had so much favor on his life that even Israel's enemies didn't have victory over the whole nation. But again, Samuel couldn't have been the prophet or leader of this nation on his own. He needed those people to cry out on his behalf in spirit and also teach and train him the practical things and train him in truth. Okay, guys, are you almost done with your signs?
No.
Oh my gosh, come on. Okay, 5 more seconds, come on. Okay, if you're not done, that's okay. Okay. Can you guys take your signs and come stand up here and hold them in front so everyone can see? Hurry, hurry. Come on, stand up. Line up across here. Yeah, good job, Coda. Thanks, Coda. Thanks, Nikki. Stand up here. Okay, right down here. Make sure they can read your sign. Okay, maybe on the bottom. There's not enough, because we also need people to be able to reach you, okay? So scoot over, spread out. Down on the step. off the step, sorry. Telling you the wrong thing. Okay. So this generation here, this now generation, is saying, here I am. How are we gonna respond? These kids need Hannahs and Elis in their lives. What are we going to pour out our souls for that aren't just going to be for us, but is going to impact the people and this generation around us? Will we recognize what God is doing in them when even they can't see it for themselves? Will we be faithful to them in the training, in the little and mundane things, so that they can be ready to run once they encounter the Lord? We all have a different role to play. Hannah couldn't do what Eli did, and Eli couldn't do what Hannah did. And part of this means stepping up in our own walks so that we can recognize how God is moving. We can't lead this generation to places that we haven't been to ourselves. And so that's my challenge to you. That we would own our own walks and our own relationships, our own intimacy with the Lord, so that while, yes, their floor is our ceiling is their floor, but how high do we want to have their starting point to be, right? So as we close and as we enter into this second set of worship, we are going to, I'm going to invite you adults to come up. And so kids, I'm going to have you stay here during worship for a little while. And these adults, if you guys feel led, you can come up and minister to them, these kids. You can bless them. You could give them a word. You could just let them know that you're for them, that you're cheering them on, that you'll respond to them when they say, here I am, because that's what they really need. So, so as we close, I'm just going to pray over us real quick. So, yeah. So, Lord, I thank you for this generation, God, in all the generations represented here. And Lord, we just invite you to just come and touch each person here, Lord. God, I thank you for these kids and for the way that you created them, the giftings that you've given each one of them. And so, Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to step up for ourselves and for those around us, Lord. And so, God, we ask for your spirit to just speak to us, and that you would just bless this time. And I just thank you for this Catalyst family who just loves each generation and is so willing to pour into these kids. So God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you feel led, you could, if you just want to come up and bless these kids, you don't have to do all of them, but just whoever's highlighted to you, just as the Lord leads you.